Welcome to the Reach the Stars podcast, a collection of conversations with cool people who do cool things. Brought to you by Papercraft Miracles. Each week, we'll bring you inspiring stories of persistence, passion, and purpose. With your host, Jonna Willoughby-Lore.
Welcome to the Reach the Stars podcast. I'm your host, Jonna Willoughby-Lore. This week, we're doing another episode recap of our favorite five questions from episode 16 through 21. Episode 16, Strong Mama Goals with Nicole Majeski.
So the first question is, tell me about an experience or a single moment that changed who you are today.
That's such a good question. I purposely did not listen to the end of the interview so that I didn't know what these questions were. So I'm not prepared, but a single moment that changed who I am today. I think probably, and I know that you probably reflect on this too, is losing my mom and watching her basically pass away before our eyes. That was huge and will affect me for generations to come, I'm sure. So that's definitely one of them. It's a lot, but that's the first one that popped in my mind.
I hear you on that. I was certainly a different person after that day than before that day and always will be.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Number two, when you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
Oh, I was just telling myself this a couple hours ago. Everything happens for a reason and it will always work out. So, and faced with resilience and hardship, economic struggle and frustration and being mom of many, that comes up a lot. So everything happens for a reason and everything will work out okay.
Cool. Okay. Number three, tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it.
That's a really good question too. Let me see. I feel like over the years of different kind of stages of our lives, you know, when you're young and just getting out of university or when you're deciding what career you want, or maybe you make a career move, a lot can feel like failure along the way in different ways, right? Macro level or enormous, like life fails. And I feel like a lot of times that isn't necessarily a failure per se, but it might appear to one to the society or to our silly chatter. I think that I made a decision to open a cafe almost 2 years ago here in the tiny little town I'm in. And while I loved it and it was fun and I was able to get some great life experiences and drink a lot of coffee with some awesome people, I had to close because the property sold and a million other reasons on a list. And I feel like in the beginning when it first happened, it felt like an enormous failure, based on what society feels is important in terms of success or fail. And it was hard and it was almost like, I'm sure anybody listening out there can understand, almost like an ego hit bigger than anything. Like everybody was always so supportive and nobody was ever like, wow, you really failed at this initiative, you know, but it definitely was like, damn, I was hoping it was going to be open for a decade. But reflecting back again, everything happens for a reason, and it was exactly what it needed to be for me.
Number four, what one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
On track? I'm not on track. I don't have one. probably my like Capricornian, really nerdy need to achieve. And knowing that I like to tick it off the box, probably that's like what drives me even when I'm sleepless and penniless and just trying to get to the next thing. So that probably is the saving grace.
Making to-do lists?
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, what's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And what advice would you give to other people?
Oh man. The best piece of advice I've ever gotten. Okay. as a young mom with a new baby, I had amazing friends that threw a party for me, like a baby shower. And the one thing that kept like stuck out of all the great, you know, fluffy things people had to say about being a mom was sleep when baby sleeps, eat when baby eats, and you can never go wrong. And it might sound so silly, but just sitting here and reflecting on like the best thing that like stuck with me and that like got me through those insanely intense, hard, gnarly times of a tiny baby, that was real. That's super real. And of course, a million other sage bits of wisdom that people have shared with me over the years. But that for some reason was the first one that came to mind. And the best advice that I think I can give others is something like, you know, don't take it personal. Don't hold it with you. Flow, let it go, surrender. Know that we are not in control of pretty much anything. And the more flexible you can be on yourself, and whether that means with your own personal goals or your routine or with your, you know, your emotions, your trials and tribulations, the easier the trail is going to be ahead. So I know that was like a lot of advice in one, but I think they're really important to just let it go.
I think it makes sense. So, yeah. For sure.
Episode 17, The Poet Garden with Gail Danley.
Okay. Number one, tell me about an experience that you had in your life that changed who you are today. Like a single moment where after that moment, you're like, it's all different now.
You know, I imagine that your other guest know what that thing is, but I think for a lot of us, it's a shameful thing. And so you have to kind of weigh out, like, I don't know where this podcast will go. I don't know where it will show up. So, and I don't want to regret sharing that, but you know, I had a response. It came immediately, but let me think of something else.
Every time I ask this question throughout these five questions, every single person says, I've definitely said things and the answers to these questions that I have not said anywhere else, which is pretty cool. I think that's cool.
So I guess the number two, second in line, would be when I was in 10th grade and they were holding elections for officers for the following year. And so I ran for, as a 10th grader, I ran for 11th grade class president. And as part of running for that, I had to do a speech. And, you know, I worked on it and I said it out loud and I went, I worked, wrote it down and went back and forth. And when I got up to do it, we were in the gym and I knew that it would go over well, but I didn't know that the crowd went insane. They went insane. And that's one of those times that I knew I was going to be a speaker. I was going to be thrilling audiences for the rest of my life.
That's amazing.
That's your safe answer.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I remember practicing for the Richmond Speaking Contest and memorizing El Dorado way back in the day.
Nice.
To do that. Okay. Number two, when you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
I call all my closest girlfriends and I tell them what's going on and why I'm feeling and what happened. And I get all this comfort and all this advice and all this perspective. And I roll it over for, you know, depending upon how deep the defeat was, kind of determines how long it takes me to roll through it. It could take a day. It could take a week. It could take a month. And then I'm a runner. So I run every day too. And so I run it out or I walk it out. And sometimes I laugh, like I'll turn the hurt into something hilarious. Sometimes I'll teach it. Like recently, one of my line sister said something about my hair, and it really was very hurtful. And so I turned it into a lesson that I could teach from. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't worry about your hair. And so that's kind of how I handle. Wait, ask me the question again. Make sure I answered it.
Oh, I think you answered it. It's when you feel defeated or overcome. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you tell yourself? What do you do to keep going? Mm-hmm. Maybe like 10 different things. Like, I do this and then I do this.
And then I do
all
that.
Those are great excuses. And you have awesome hair and fuck whoever told you you didn't.
I like my hair too. Thank you. I like my hair.
I think it's great. Okay. Number three, tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it.
That one's kind of similar to number two, isn't it?
Sort of. I mean, one's just like, you know, if number two is kind of like when you're feeling crappy about yourself, what do you do? And this one's more like, you know, what did you learn from something that you might not have done, you know, the right way the first time? And how did
So let me hear the third question again.
And so tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it.
I don't know if I ever overcome mistakes. I just make them and get a good laugh or get a good lesson and keep it moving. You know, I think I just make them and try to keep them in perspective, try to keep the larger goal. Okay, Gail, what's the end game here?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I can continue to see it, I can keep walking toward it. And so it's no overcoming it. It's just doing it and keep it moving.
I love that. I think that's a great way to look at it too, because a lot of people get really hung up on their mistakes and say, if I can't overcome this and I can't fix it, I can't make it right, then I can't keep going forward. And I think that that's not at all true. And I love that your perspective on it is like, you just roll on over it and it's still going to be there. And you're probably still going to get little speed bump reminders of it. And you
it's
know,
it's all a poem. I think like being a poet and being a poet that's real close to the word too. Like, I'm not one of those poets where it's like, oh God, I hadn't written a poem since last year. No. It's my breath. It mm-hmm. always gives me that place to go. Like you said earlier, I always have that place. And so whatever mess up I do, whatever doesn't go right, whatever goes very right, it's just so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives me a lot of peace and a lot of comfort.
I love that. Oh, we have to like make another date and talk more when we have more time, because I want to talk to you all day. Okay. Number four, what one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
My humor. Being silly. Everything's a joke.
Yeah. Can't take life so seriously. It's not permanent.
Everything's funny. And if it ain't funny now, it'll be funny next Monday. You know, everything's on the waiting list to become a good joke or a decent poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was 20 years old, all in the span of 6 months, my mom passed away. The love of my life got shipped out into the military. And then my dorm burnt to the ground with all my stuff in it, all my journals, my whole life, everything on my mom's birthday.
Oh, gosh.
And then they cut my financial aid for my final year of school, all in the span of like 6 months. And I remember like 3 days after the fire, I looked at my roommate and I was like, dude, all of our shit burnt up.
And you had a good laugh off of that. Wow.
Oh, yeah, man. And it was just like, it has to be funny. It has to be funny, because I'm never going to survive if it's not funny. And after that, it was just like all, you know, like you said, don't sweat the small stuff. It was just like, it's all teeny tiny little itty bitty small shit. After you've had a 6 months like that, so-and-so saying something about so-and-so, who gives a shit? That's like,
I think you also get a certain perspective or a certain understanding about things once you lose your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think because she's like your ground, even if she might not necessarily be good ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once you lose her and you have to figure out how to walk on, for the rest of your life without her, everything feels to, I mean, to me, like the small stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most everything. Let me not jinx anything.
The like question number one, the experience that shaped who you are today is totally like the minute that my mom died, I was like, everything is totally different forever.
Forever.
Yep. Okay. Number five. We're on the last one. Number five. What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And what advice would you give to other people?
That's a good one. I'm trying to think of some of the things that I have an older brother, Troy, some of the things that he has said to me over the years that have been really resonant for me. He went through a period of his life where he was a practicing Muslim. And one of the, I guess, tenets of the faith is always leave something better than when you came to it. And so I took that to mean if you go into a public restroom and it's a bunch of paper on the floor, pick it up and throw it away. Or if you encounter someone who is hurting, do your best to make them feel better or to help them out. Or if something is wrong in your world, try to make it right. And so I think I'm going to go with that, Jana. I think I'm going to go with when you come to something that is askew, try to write it. Get it, write it. I wasn't thinking of it like the W, right? But you know, try to make it right. You know, do what you can with your world to make your world a better world.
Yeah, do it because you can, not because anyone's going to make you, right? My mom was a smart lady.
If somebody's a hug, you know, give them a hug. Yeah, your mom was a smart lady.
She was. So that's the best advice you've gotten. But from your life experience, what advice would you give to other people?
Know when to open your ears and when to shut them. I went out car shopping with a close friend of mine last month, and the dealership turned her down, and she had all this money and she was ready to go and they turned it down. And so I talked to her a few days ago, and she was on the way to New York to start filming a pilot for HBO. And I said, oh, how are you getting there? And she said, well, I'm driving. I'm in my new Porsche. Had she listened to that fool over at that dealership who said, no, we can't finance you. And on top of that, Jana, he said, and probably no other dealership will finance you because we use all the same rules and all the same banks. I'm so glad she didn't listen to him. I'm glad she was like, because she was in her Porsche driving to New York. So for me, the trick has been knowing who to listen to, who to believe, who to trust, and who to just go, well, thank you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't have my answer. Because my answer is yes, and you said no. So, you know, like knowing when to do that and knowing when to say, come on, come in. Mm-hmm. You're right. I trust you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Episode 18. Nobody Has Their Shit Together with Andrea Cox.
Okay. Number one, tell me about an experience in your life, a single moment that changed who you are today.
Having my daughter. Yes. So I'm not a super patient person. And okay. So my birthday is July 22nd, which means I'm a Cancer Leo cusp, which means fire and water. I have a constant internal battle going on. Constant. Mm-hmm. And my daughter ended up being just basically a mini version of me. She was born on the solstice, She looks almost exactly like me. And because of like, we are the same person. And through meeting her and learning who she is, I am learning so much about myself. And I don't love all of it. I don't love all of it, but that forces me to recognize the things in myself that I might like to change over time, mm-hmm. and to accept her for who she is, and therefore maybe also find some forgiveness for my own self. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Becoming a mom, that was definitely a pivotal point for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Me too.
Yeah. Right.
I've definitely learned a whole lot about my parents, like things that they did not do properly in their parenting, which I now like do randomly. And I'm like, oh, why am I doing that? I'm like, oh, they did that to me. Like that sucks, you know, not intentionally, but you know what I mean? Like you notice more of those things when you realize like, why am I, you know, yelling at my kid for something stupid? And I was like, he doesn't even understand what's happening right now. Like,
right. You know, parenting is hard any way you slice it. Parenting is hard because you've got your parents that there's things you might've liked about what they did. There's things you might've not liked. So you want to try to do or not do those. But then you see like peer to peer, you're like, ooh, what's that person got going on? I don't like what they're doing. Or maybe you look at your other friend and you're like, yeah, I like what you're doing, but I only have one kid and I know I'm making mistakes. A lot of people have more than one kid and they get it right on the second time around and I don't have that opportunity. So I'm just like, oh crap, I screwed that up and now I'm stuck with it.
It's really weird because like, I keep thinking that before I had two kids, I never yelled at my one kid. And now that I have two kids, I yell at them both all the time. And it's awful. And I'm like, man, my youngest has no idea that I used to be like the mom that never yelled because I had one kid who was like super chill. And then now that I have two of them, they like feed off each other and they're like, crazy, you know? Yeah. They really love each other though. So I'm lucky for that. I hope that continues. Anyway, number two. When you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
I won't lie. Yesterday morning was like the worst. I was in tears and I was like, oh my God, should I even keep going? Like, does anybody even care about anything that I'm trying to accomplish here? Like, this is what happens in entrepreneurship. Like, you have these ups and downs. You have this ebb and flow, and it's not unicorns and rainbows, guys. It is not unicorns and rainbows. If it was easy, everybody would do it. So yesterday, here's a couple things I do. I went and I bought myself my favorite coffee because I like coffee. And a lot of times I try to like keep it at an even keel. Like, you know, it's kind of expensive. I don't like to just like blow all my money on coffee. So you make it at home or whatever. I was like, nope, I'm going to get my most expensive favorite coffee. Okay. So yeah. A little bit of self-care. And then, I do some deep breathing and I do a lot of journaling when I'm having a hard time. I journal every day. This is also something that's really skyrocketed my journey as an entrepreneur. I highly suggest it for people, journal every day. But if it's the middle of the day and there's something that I'm just like, oh God, this is awful, I'll start journaling right there and just work through it just line by line. And I think gratitude really helps too. If you can write out a grateful statement surrounding whatever is pissing you off, mm-hmm. because there is always something to be grateful for. Even if something is not working right, you have to look at it as a learning opportunity and you should be thankful for that learning opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So those would be my things. Coffee, journaling, and gratitude.
Yeah, and like it's a crazy thing with, you know, being an entrepreneur and so many people think that you have like tons of money and you're like doing all this crazy stuff and you know, it's really difficult not to compare yourself to other people, especially when you really interact with people mainly online and you know, people have their filters and they post all the best things and you see other people who are like check out my best way that I'm doubled my income this year. And you're like, I didn't double my income. You're way, I'm the worst, you know? And then, you know, you just got to remember that other people are looking at you and seeing that same thing. And they're looking at you and saying, oh my God, they must be so successful. Everything in their life must be so perfect. And, you know, just remembering that it's not like that. It's not like that for anybody. But it's also like to remember when things are really hard as an entrepreneur and you do feel like, man, why am I even doing this? Remember that you chose to do it. Like, right. It's like, yeah. This, I get to do what I love. I get to do what I love. And this part of this day might be hard, but most of the time that I'm at work, it doesn't even feel like work. I don't even realize that I've been in my office for like 12, 15 hours. I'm like, my happy place, you know, like I love it here.
Exactly. So yeah, that's something for everybody to keep in mind is it's never all rainbows and sparkles. It's not exactly. Ever that way. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Number three, tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it. It's like a job interview.
Okay. Well, this just happened too. So grandma wanted, she ordered something out of my gallery and she wanted it on a substrate that I really didn't think it was going to look good. So I talked her out of it and I was like, no, it really kind of needs to be made like this. Cause that's what I offer is like custom pieces. Like, here's the image. Do you want it on canvas, metal, framed print, paper print? What do you want? And I kind of talked her out of what she wanted because I really didn't feel like the image was set up for that particular substrate. So I wasn't going to offer it on that substrate and, made her the pieces, got them up on the wall and she, you know, she just didn't love them because it really just wasn't what she wanted. And so like thinking like, all right, how am I going to fix this? You know, it's not just a customer, it's grandma. I want all my customers to be wildly happy all the time. Mm-hmm. But this one's also grandma.
Yeah.
So I ended up going ahead and making it the original way that she wanted it. And she taught me something because it looked way better than I ever thought it could. So always, 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 you've got to listen to your customer. You've got to try to come to at least some sort of compromise on something that you know, you might know that your product or your art should be made this way. But you have to really listen. You have to really listen and say, well, if you've never even tried that, well let's just try it. Let's try it out. So she was wildly happy with her newer one. And so you've got to listen. You've got to fix things when they need fixing for sure. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to learn. You've got to learn from your mistakes. So there you go.
Cool. All right. Number four, what one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
I have the, in my opinion, tooting my own horn here, the perfect combination of right brain and left brain. I am the most organized artist I've ever met. Which is a contradiction. Yeah. So that's it for me is that's part of the reason why I feel like I have been able to find a lot of success over the years is, that I can ride both sides of being creative and also needing to stay extremely organized and be business minded and that kind of thing. So like for other people who maybe don't have one or the other, guys, outsource it. Pay somebody to help you with that thing that you can't do because it will help you in your business for sure.
Yeah. I had a coach who has been a guest on the show, actually, Nicole Overkamp. And she told me, she's like, you need to make a list that has four quadrants. And she's like, in one box, you need to write, these are all the things that I am excellent at doing. And then the next box is like, these are all the things that I enjoy doing. Yeah. And then you make a box like, these are all the things that I don't enjoy doing. And these are all the things that I absolutely suck at. And she's like, hire people for all the things that you suck at before all the things that you don't enjoy doing.
Yes.
And she's like, prioritize your stuff like that. You know, like spend the most amount of your time on the stuff that you are excellent at doing and the stuff that you enjoy. But, you know, if you're going to start paying somebody, pay somebody to do the stuff that you cannot do yourself properly.
Right.
Because that's going to be the best use of your money instead of paying people to do things that you could do. You just don't really want to, you know, like
it is still work after all. There's always going to be something that you don't love doing.
Yes. You know, it's just like, well, you know, I could take out the trash in this studio. Probably, you know, I was going to have my assistants do something, you know, I should probably have them do something that they're good at doing that I'm not good at doing, but you know, sometimes I still take the trash out.
Exactly. So yeah, like I outsource, if it's family shoots, I outsource them editing. I'm an artist. I love making my art. I don't love staring at a computer all day. No. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Outsource things that you do not love doing or you can't do. It's not that I can't do that one. That one, I could do it, but it's so time consuming. I outsource
it. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I worked my previous job before I became full-time doing this. I edited photos for another company for product too. So
yeah,
just like, pictures.
I remember that.
Jewelry. If I never see another belly button ring as long as I live.
Right. Exactly. I remember that period of your life.
Yep. 40 hours a week, me in the Photoshop.
You had music to hold you over.
Yeah. I mean, I could. The one good thing is that, you know, for work like that, you can listen to podcasts or listen to music, or if you're really good at it, you could have like a TV show playing in the corner of the screen or something. You know, it's a lot of kind of crappy crop, savey save type work that's not really like finesse or whatever. You can do that kind of thing. But man, I'm so glad that I don't have to do that stuff all the time anymore. It's just like, I can edit my own product photos and do them really quickly, which is nice.
And you like doing it better because it's for you.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I'll just make a template. Just throw them all in there and they're all the right size. Perfect. That's great. Okay, number five. What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And what advice would you give to other people besides outsource?
Okay. So the best piece of advice I ever got was from one of my managers at like the craft store back in college. Okay. And I did not like this man, but I will never forget this. Nothing ever stays very good or very bad for very long. Okay. And then the piece of advice that I would give to people, if you don't like your life, change it. That's it. It's that simple. Don't make excuses. Don't pretend you can't, because your life is a choice. Everything about your life is a choice. There's things that aren't choices. Change what you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like your life, change it.
Yep. It's hard for a lot of people to get over the fear of success. There's so many people have a fear of success that they're yeah. just like, oh, I could never be that person that has all their shit together or whatever. And you totally could be that person.
Oh, yeah. Here's another secret. Nobody has all their shit together.
Yeah, right? Seriously. No one
has all their shit together, okay? There's always some other piece of shit to go put in your bag.
Oh, my God. I want to title this episode, "There's Always Another Piece of Shit to Go on Your Bag."
Seriously, there is. You could be on the perfect uphill climb, okay? But there is always going to be something, any goal you're trying to accomplish, you are going to be scrambling for something, okay? Mm-hmm. It's never going to be perfect. And that's what you need to remember is as long as you are progressing as a person, as a business owner, as a parent, whatever it is that's important to you that you want to progress at, just keep picking up that piece of shit and putting it in that bag.
Seriously.
All right. Because there's always going to be another one, whether you're going up the mountain or down the mountain. Okay. There's always going to be another step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I heard this other mompreneur had this great piece of advice. And she was just like, somebody asked her, like, how do you keep juggling all the balls? And she's like, you just have to know which one of them are fragile and which one of them are plastic.
That's perfect. Like, I can drop
that. You know, it's like there's some of those that like you could drop that for a little while and it's not, and you could pick it back up.
Yeah.
And there's other stuff to like, if you drop like your child's entire education, that's probably a bad one. Don't drop that one.
Yeah. We all need to be keeping up on that.
Yeah. And like for me, before I had kids, oh my God, my laundry. Before I had kids, I seriously would like separate. I had like lights, brights, and darks.
I missed
that. I had a whole separate thing that was hand wash, and I would shake everything out and empty all the pockets before I washed it. I would hang up all of my jeans because I didn't want them to shrink in the dryer, all this stuff. And I would take, I was like meticulous. Anyone who went to college with me would know that, like, if you open my drawer of t-shirts, I was Marie Kondoing before she was even doing anything. Like, they were all folded like in the upright thing so you could see each t-shirt. They were in rainbow color order in the drawer. They said, like, if they were an all over a print, a solid shirt or something that had something printed on the front, like all organized, every single drawer was like that. And as soon as I had my first kid, all of it right out the window. I stopped even sorting the laundry at all. I don't even go through it. In the time that I have been a parent, I have seriously washed and dried a lot of fucked up shit in the washing machine.
I know.
I put a toy car through the washer and the dryer and it still plays music.
Yeah, right? I put chapstick in there. There's been crayons. Oh my God. So many
diapers,
lighters. Cause my husband smokes. Like, oh my gosh, the stuff that goes through the machines. Yep. Yep.
I can't even believe that toy car still plays music even after it went through the high heat and the wash. Right on, Family Dollar, whatever.
Right? Good job.
Episode 19, Don't Fight the Fall with Michelle Baker.
So the first question is, tell me about an experience or a moment in your life that shaped who you are today.
Wow. I'd say the experience and moment that shaped who I am today, the one that comes to top of the mind was when I was transitioning into a program and the partner, I was working at this program out of incarceration and a partner at the law firm. I was a file clerk. And she asked me why. She asked me really why was I there. It was the first time anyone had asked me why. And everything I do helps people to get to that part of their life, get that clear, because it changed me. It planted such a powerful seed in me that about, you know, which she delivered afterwards, the why, that it changed how I thought about myself and it changed what I thought I would be capable of. And I've literally, even if I've drifted or, you know, got distracted, I always find my way back to my why.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. Number two, when you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
Oh, I actually am a vision. I'm a vision mastery strategist. So everything I do is about having people write clear and compelling visions. And then we write a vision statement. So I have one, and it's I am a well-paid, world-renowned, traveling, highly sought-after thought leader and subject matter expert on sales and confidence. who joyfully and luxuriously gallops the globe. So when I get stuck or overwhelmed, I ask myself, what would she do? And if it's something, sometimes it's she go eat because your blood sugar is low because you're hungry. She'd take a nap like I did yesterday. She would, meditate so that she'd get her head clear to make that next inspired. So I make a decision based off of what she would do.
I love that. I also have a kind of superhero alter ego.
No, that's why you stand up, and like say it, right?
Exactly. Like my superhero stage persona. It's like I'm a rapper. That's what I do in my band. And my rapper name is MC Vendetta. And like MC Vendetta is just like, she's hardcore so. Like she's got this whole attitude. So like whenever nice. I'm just like feeling crappy about myself, I'm like, I need to channel that. And I'm like, hell no.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Crap to me. You know, like I kind of get this whole, like this attitude and man, it makes me feel like I can do anything.
Exactly. I love it.
Number three, tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it.
So I'm going to say, one of the biggest mistakes I made was I invested in being in one of these women's networking organizations to, you know, run a chapter here in Austin. And it took a big chunk of money out of the money I was working with. And I spent like a year trying to build this chapter and do this work because I believe, you know what they said, what if I built that, the chapter will build my business. And at the end of it, I was like, you know, out of tens of thousands of dollars, because I was doing these events that were always in a negative. I think I had one out of 13 events that actually turned a profit, right? And it was really finding like why I wasn't working. But what I learned was that it was a misalignment, and that it was one of the last times, I think maybe I had paid for a coach at right after that, but it was one of the last times that I remembered that I invested in anything thinking it was going to be my answer. I quickly learned that anything I invested was not me trying to get validation outside of myself. It was confirmation of what I already knew to be true. And I was just having someone teach me the skill to help me to move forward on what I already knew I was true.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number four, what one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
My morning routine. That was the hardest thing for me to create with consistency. As I meditate daily, first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is my visions. I have them as a voice memo, and I listen to them before I get out of bed. And it is the unconscious mind does 90% of the work. So if you're familiar with the 5-second rule written by Melanie B, she's done research and shown that every self-made billionaire on the planet has a non-negotiable morning routine. So my morning routine is non-negotiable.
Awesome. So aside from meditating, what else do you do in your morning routine?
So also on my morning routine, I listen to my visions, I meditate, affirmations. I have some other things that I listen to, or like, because one of the things I've learned is our unconscious mind loves the sound of our own voice. So I have things that I've read or say, like, and then I listen to them on the recording. I do other things throughout the day, but the first thing is my mind. It's calibrating my mind to the understanding that I have an infinite ability and just tapping in to source and joy and belief that today is going to be another amazing day.
That's awesome. I know that last year around this time, I put a whole bunch of habit trackers in my bullet journal because I was like, I need to start like doing all these things intentionally to make my day better. And I had like a bunch of things in there. And the one thing that I put in there that I had heard in at this event that I went to was that don't check your phone until you have coffee.
Yeah.
And so every single day that I would get out of bed and have coffee in my hand before I even open my phone, I would put a little check mark in my book. And I really need to get back to that because I get up in the morning and I tend to just like doom scroll. And like, I see something stupid on Facebook and it puts me in a crappy mood. And then I'm like rude to my kids. And I'm like, what did I do? That was stupid. And
yeah,
back to that.
So, and I will just to jump in and I forget, cause see it's conditioned. It's my identity. So I probably forget a lot of the things that I actually do, but I do not check anything. So when I say I check my phone, I know how to get to my phone without looking. So I don't check social media, emails, anything. It's only to listen. My voice memo is the only thing I, you know, I hit the thing and can hit voice memo. That's all. But I'm up for minimally 2 hours before I ever see an email, social media, or anything.
Oh my goodness. I definitely do. I can, mostly I can make it like 30 minutes, maybe. Cause now that I'm doing virtual kindergarten, I have to do a bunch of stuff to like get the kid ready, but I kind of have to like sit there while he's doing school. So I'm like, you know, doing some stuff on my phone cause I'm trying to do something, and stay useful. Okay. Number five, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever gotten? And what advice would you give to other people?
I don't know if it's the best piece of advice I'd say I'd ever gotten. The best thing that I've, the kind of how I built my, the principle of what makes Michelle, Michelle is, realizing that I cared way too much what other people thought of me. And, it's a Maya Angelou quote that I remember was on the back of a bookmark that I got from somebody years ago, and people won't remember what you said. They forget what you did, but they never forget how you made them feel. So I thought, and got to the clarity is if when I focused on helping other people feel good altruistically, right, without that thought of getting anything back, just, you know, understanding and whatever you want to receive, you must give it because it's reciprocal. And so my mantra has become, you will be better off for having spent time with me, period. And that's how I love my life. And there's rarely, if ever, like, unless I'm having a bad day, I'm sick, tired or something like that, where people don't walk away better off or in, you know, for having spent time with me. So that thing, that quote, changed my life. It's in some of the stuff, my deliverables and my trainings. It's one of the first things that's in the quote, because everything I'm doing is helping people to be valuable in that manner. Just focus on leaving other people better off. You're just planting seeds. You're not harvesting, right? You're not hunting for anything as a business owner. You're just planting seeds and nourishing in how you treat people, and you will always have a bumper crop.
Love it. Episode 20. It's all about perception with Rob Temple. So question number one, tell me about a single moment or one experience that changed who you are today.
Oh, a good question. A single moment or a single experience, you say? Mm-hmm. I think there was a moment a couple of years after that show for the Brownie Troupe, I went from like junior school to high school. So I was 11. And I remember I entered a talent competition at school. And so I'm at the youngest end of the school here, because obviously kids in the school are 11 to 18. And I'm like the youngest, and I'm one of the youngest end based on my date of birth. And so for the first time, I was going into a new school, a new place. And within about a month of joining the school, went into this talent competition. And there's kids there who are in the sixth form, and they're like 18 and 17 and 18. And I went on stage to do this trick with three bits of rope. And I'm halfway through the thing, and I ended up in a tangle, and I basically realized it hadn't worked. And I remember this. I was this, again, still a really shy, terrified kid, probably shaking. And I remember saying, in front of a hall of like 400 other pupils, almost all of them older than me, and I just went, oh, that hasn't worked. And I dropped all the ropes to the floor, and the audience laughed. And I paused for a minute, and it was only when I realized they weren't laughing at me, they were laughing with me and the situation. So I picked it up And I just did it again. And this time it got it right. And it all worked. And the applause was enormous. And I didn't win the talent competition. But I do remember thinking at the time that the way that we feel that other people feel about us is quite often completely warped. And sometimes when we think somebody doesn't like us or somebody's having a go or somebody's laughing at us or something like that, a lot of the time that's just not true. It's just our perception of that situation in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I love this show. Okay. Number two, when you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
That the easiest thing to probably do would be to give up. The second easiest thing to do would be to just pivot slightly and figure out how I can circumnavigate whatever that bump in the road was. That's probably one of my biggest strengths, is pivoting really quickly when stuff doesn't work, because nobody gets everything right 100% of the time. Most people get most things wrong most of the time. The quicker you realize that and be prepared to pivot, the better.
Sorry, this is a totally not on the list of questions, but are you more of a, I see something in front of me, some type of opportunity, I'm just going to jump at it and see where it takes me kind of person? Or are you like to have a plan and say, okay, there's that thing that I might be able to do that. Is it going to make sense here? Is it going to make sense here? Like, do you check all the boxes or did you just go for it?
No. So I figure it out as I go, because you can't know what's around the corner anyway. So everything you're going to do to plan for it is potentially guesswork at best. So I figure, well, I'm very much a quick reactor, so I'll just go for it and I'll just see what's happening. And the minute there's danger, I'll just slow down a little bit and be prepared to pivot.
Cool. I do that too. Number three, tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it. You've kind of already said this in like five different ways, but pick a different one.
I started my personal development brand four times. Because each time I got a little way down the road and with a different, under a slightly different brand name. And like, I just changed the name of the website and the podcast. And it didn't always have a podcast, but it did twice. And like, just down the road realized, oh, this is not what I want it to be yet. And rather than like just giving it a lick of paint, I stopped, and it took like months to just like talk myself back into like trying to get back into the voice of it all. So I think, it's interesting for me now looking back and going, whew, now that it's starting to take off and it's starting to work, like I figured that out, but it was only after, this is the fourth time. So after three times of like just having a go at it and getting it wrong and building a bit of an email list of people who were going to follow my stuff, and then having to like basically just like abandon them and chuck them back in the sea and then go out fishing again. Yeah, definitely.
All right. So number four, what one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
I rely a lot on like accountability to other people. So like in a different business that I have a business partnership with my best friend. So like that works really, really well, because he's very much a box ticker and like a number cruncher and plans everything and overthinks everything and is there like 15 minutes early for everything and like operates that way. And I'm the opposite of that. And that works really well. I encourage him to be a little bit more fly by the seat of your pants, but he encourages me to like be on track. So for me, accountability is really key, to make sure that I say I'm going to do something and then it gets done, because other people are relying on that to happen. So accountability.
Yeah. It can be difficult to put yourself into a position where you have accountability, because a lot of people are solopreneurs and they're just working by themselves all the time. And for anybody who's in that boat, you should get accountability partners of other people who are also in that boat, so you can hold each other accountable to stuff. Okay. So number five, I think you also answered this inadvertently before. Anyway, you must be reading my mind. Number five, what's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten, and what advice would you give to other people?
I think the best bit of advice that has ever been given was, it was definitely my dad saying, take a gap year and see what happens, for sure. I think to put it slightly differently and to take something else was, there was a really famous magician in the UK, had a TV show on the BBC for 20 years, a guy called Paul Daniels, not famous anywhere else, but in the UK. And he always said, If so, like if a client inquired about something, like, can you do this thing? And obviously he got some really big gigs. Like, you know, we've got this, you know, we sell diggers. Can you come and do a thing at our conference and make one of our giant like diggers disappear? Is he always said yes. And then thought, I'll figure out the details later. Like, I'll just say yes. Now I can. I can definitely do it. I'll figure it out later. And I think that's, I sort of live a lot of my life by, we'll just say yes. As long as I want to do it. Like, I'll always say no if I don't want to, but if I want to do it, I'll just say yes. And we'll figure out the details as we go. Never oversell. Just know that you'll figure it out.
That's awesome. I totally do the same thing. That's the reason I started making paper flowers in the first place. Somebody emailed me and they're like, hey, can you make paper flowers? We saw these ones on Etsy and we want those, but we want to shop local. And I'm like, totally. I had no idea how to make paper flowers. I was just winging it. But yeah, now that's like the main bulk of what I do all day long is teach people how to make flowers.
A single interaction has the power to change your life forever. This is a place for the stories of those moments. Stories of pursuing dreams, overcoming tragedy and failure, of coming back to life after so much of what feels like dying, of continuing on with only a vision as a map. This is the place where those moments live on. Come sit by the fire, look up at the stars, and be forever changed too.
Thank you for being with us on the Reach the Stars podcast. Our theme music is generously provided by Byrocratic. You can find him on Bandcamp.com. Thank you to all of our current patrons, guests, and everyone else who helps make this dream a reality. We are so proud to be building this amazing community with all of you. If you love this podcast, please consider sharing with a friend, leaving a review on iTunes, and becoming a patron at www.patreon.com/reachthestars. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to see the videos of these conversations. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, do something cool and tell us about it.